hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the cause of God's peace. If you don't love and lead it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight beside me. Some squirrely guy who claims he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the right side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a part of God's deed. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the right side of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in the fog of dying keep. If you don't love and leave it, let this song I'm singing be warned. When you run it down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and, of course, all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, that's a... lots of interesting things coming our way these days. What do we have here? Oh, yes. South Africa has granted Grace Mugabe immunity. Grace Mugabe is the much younger wife of the... basically, he's been president ever since under tremendous pressure from the West, power was handed over to... longtime radical socialist, and that's Robert Mugabe in Rhodesia, now of course called Zimbabwe. Anyway, Grace Mugabe is making, I think, moves for power. Robert Mugabe is, they believe, 93, and probably not too long for this world. So there's... going to be a power struggle. She has being a spoiled brat, is used to getting her way, including beating a model. South Africa's granted diplomatic immunity to Zimbabwe's First Lady, using the term loosely, Grace Mugabe, allowing her to return to Harare, that's the capital, formerly Salisbury, of Rhodesia, and to avoid prosecution for the alleged assault on 20-year-old model, according to a security source in the South African government. South Africa's African police have put border posts on red alert to prevent Mrs. Mugabe from fleeing. She was visiting South Africa. And it indicated that she would receive no special treatment in the case involving Gabriella Engels, who says Mrs. Mugabe whipped her with an electric extension cable. Now that's what I call a queen-like snit. Although that was officially what the government said, that there'd be no special treatment, they're trying to make sure she didn't sneak out of the country. Apparently, though, she's being granted diplomatic immunity. A security service source said that immunity had been granted, and Grace Mugabe failed to turn up at the Johannesburg court hearing on this past Tuesday, as agreed by police, because of a concern she'd be attacked. I know, whenever bad guys get into trouble, it's security. Well, I mean, she's the head of another far-leftist nearby nation, a white-hating nation. I'm not sure who would attack her, but, you know, of course, when you're paranoid, you imagine, or at least you like to put it about, the whole world's after you. The alleged assault, Miss Engels said, occurred on Sunday evening as she waited with two friends in a luxury Johannesburg hotel suite to meet one of Mrs. Mugabe's adult sons is a diplomatic nightmare for South Africa. The country has a difficult relationship with its northern neighbor. It is home to an estimated 3 million Zimbabwean exiles. Why are they exiles? So these are mostly blacks. Well, the utterly incompetent kleptocracy of socialist Robert Mugabe has destroyed the country's economy. Under white rule, under Ian Smith, who Rhodesia was independent from 1965 to 1979. Under white rule, Rhodesia had among the highest standards of living in Africa, in fact, second only to South Africa. Blacks had high employment, there was medical care, education, great health care, I mentioned medical care, and Rhodesia was a huge exporter of food. People had more than enough to eat. Along comes Mugabe and socialism, and the results were predictable. After years of slowly pressing and harassing the white farmers, he began to nationalize their land about a decade ago. So the white farmers left. Oh, well, were driven out. Result? Hunger. Now Rhodesia has 40% of the population in Zimbabwe have AIDS. There is widespread hunger, huge unemployment, a ruined economy, all ruined by socialism. And indeed, yes, large numbers of people from Zimbabwe, who used to be Rhodesia, have fled to South Africa for work. In fact, when I was in South Africa, and I was in South Africa twice, in 2015 and 2016, I met a number of former Zimbabweans, and in fact, I asked one of my hosts, well, why do you employ Zimbabweans when you've got so many unemployed South African Negroes? And I was told, because they'll work. I said, why is that? Well, they'll work because their families are starving or near to starving back in Zimbabwe, and they will take their wages and send most of it back to Zimbabwe. That's how poor it is. Now, that's all kind of necessary background to this. South Africa has difficult relations with its northern neighbor. South Africa is home to an estimated 3 million Zimbabwean economic exiles who regard President Robert Mugabe as a dictator who is ruined was once Africa's most promising democracies. Now, is it ruined probably Africa's second best economy when it was run by whites? And that's important. I'm not saying that no black can
run an economy, but they, at the, to be kind about it, they were not ready and they were not trained. And when they drove the whites out, it wasn't simply a matter, oh, we'll take over that farm and we'll run it. You know, they took over the farm, and they didn't even, when Mugabe nationalized the white, most of the farms belonging to whites, he didn't even give the farms over to blacks who might know something, not a lot, but something about farming. No, they were given over to old comrades, which means fellow veterans of the terrorist Bush war against the whites. But although he is widely reviled in the West, Mr. Mugabe is still seen by many Africans as the continent's elder statesman and a hero in its anti-colonial struggles. Well, they're just stupid. He has ruined his country's economy, murdered many members of the opposition. He is a disaster. A senior government source said on Friday there was no way Grace Mugabe, 52, would be arrested because of the diplomatic fallout that would ensue from Zimbabwe. Yeah, what are they going to do? We're going to declare war on South Africa. Come on. A desperately poor little basket state. Anyway, it's a delightful pickle for the Zimbabwean kleptocracy to be in. Indeed, the 93-year-old president, he's only 41 years old. His wife. Anyway, the 93-year-old president himself arrived 2 days early in Pretoria for a regional Southern African summit this week to help resolve his wife's legal problems. The government source accepted the view widely held by legal experts that Grace Mugabe was not entitled to immunity because she was in South Africa for medical treatment, and said the government was expecting her immunity to be challenged in court. However, the source said Pretoria justified its decision because of other countries in Southern Africa that supported South Africa's ruling ANC, that's the communist government of South Africa, in a long struggle against the party. And these other leftists would also see Grace Mugabe's prosecution as a betrayal. That's right, because it's not about human rights, it's about power. And being a queen-like figure, when she stamps her big fat black feet, she expects to get her way. And when some mere white model stands in her way, I think she's probably Jewish, Gabriella Engels, so what? Give her a good beating with an electrical cord. You know, we've got to not take these people, take them seriously, yes, but the time has come to call savagery savagery. I mean, that's what it is. It's savagery. And let's see what we can find out about Gabriella Engels, the white model, the 20-year-old who got whipped by Grace Mugabe. I got to take this back. Gabriella Engels appears to be.
We went back to the section, my friend, that was on the right-hand side of the bed. My friend managed to run away from her. She went
over
the left.
I think she's what they call in South Africa a colored. She's a part of mixed race. A South African model is accused, the wife of Zimbabwe's president, of attacking her in a hotel room. Very, very interesting case.
She then started attacking my friend that was on the right hand side of the bed. My friend managed to run away from her. She went over to the left hand side. She cornered me and started beating the hell out of me. I had to lower myself down to get away from her. That's when she hit me with a plug end of the extension cord. And I just remember being close down on the floor with blood dripping down my face and down my neck.
What are you thinking at this point, Gabby? What are you thinking? What's going through your mind?
I was just thinking I'm down with the psychology right now. Except the woman tells me. But all these people that were in the room house were her bodyguards. And they were saying that life was beating us. We were begging her to stop beating us. But she didn't want to.
So Mugabe, Grace Mugabe's bodyguards did nothing while this, I think she's a colored model, 20-year-old Gabriella Engels was being wailed on by this much older woman, Grace Mugabe. There are pictures of the model with a big cut in her forehead. I mean, it's quite clear the skin is cut and on the scalp. So this wasn't just a slap in the face or something, or a whack. I mean, she was beaten and wailed on. that's the problem of entitlement. The report continues. What is likely to happen is that she will be allowed to go back home, and then we announce that we've granted diplomatic immunity and wait for somebody to challenge us. South Africa's foreign ministry spokesman declined to comment. Mrs. Engel's mother, Debbie, who released photographs of her daughter with gashes in her head requiring 14 stitches, said it would be very sad if Grace Mugabe was allowed to leave. However, her daughter's legal team, which includes Jerry Nell, the prosecutor who secured a murder conviction against Olympic and Paralympic track star Oscar Pistorius, would counter such a move, she said. Jerry Nell said the team have contingency plans, and they'll run with it. Anyway, kind of interesting news from the dark, not to make a pun about it, but from the dark continent. Fallout absolutely continues from the mayhem last weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, and there's more and more material coming up about the violence, here is a very interesting picture that appeared. I want to thank Stan Hess for sending this my way. And here is a woman smashing a white woman smashing some sort of I think it's probably a placard against the back of a car. And it's now being widely reported, and there are videos of this, that the 20-year-old Ohio man who ran his vehicle into the anti-fascists, or into the Antifa, his car is seen being hammered at with placards and objects thrown at the car and being rocked, and as the eyewitness that I spoke to said, this fellow is Simon Roche from the Suidlanders, or Suidlanders, or Southlanders in English, group in South Africa. He was at the protest, but others recorded this too. That clip that you saw on TV of the car basically rapidly approaching a group of the Antifa protesters from behind is only part of the story. It doesn't show the what went on before, and what went on before is that this man's car was attacked, surrounded and attacked. People were whacking at it with placards and missiles and other objects, rocking the car. He was terrified. This is not a case of murder, of somebody wanting to run these people down and create maximum havoc, as happened in Barcelona, Spain, on thirsty, where the car actually zigzagged along a promenade, just hit as many people as possible. This man was in terror for his life. On the clip that was widely seen, he rams his car into this crowd, and then I think he smashes into another car because his hood is bent, and then he rapidly accelerates in reverse because he's still trying to get out of there. Now, I'm not sure how a court of law is going to treat that. Is that justifiable violence? Is that self-protection? Is it manslaughter? That is violence that the purpose of which was not to kill. Maybe it was the wrong choice. Although, what would the right choice be? I don't know. But we're going to hear more about this as we begin to claw back from the lies that the lamestream media circulate, and we perhaps get to a point where we will get somewhere near the truth. And this is from the Daily Signal. Social justice warriors seem to have hit a wall in American politics, perhaps sensing that their attempts to fundamentally transform America through top-down control have reached their limit. They're doubling down on reshaping America from the ground up. Their favorite target is American history, and they are starting with low-hanging fruit, Confederate monuments. Activists are stridently taking their crusades from the college campus to towns near you, systematically pushing cities to change street names, tear down statues, and even dig up bodies to cleanse America of its Confederate vestiges. This is, and I think we've got to state this loud and clear, this is an attack on our culture. Even people who are not Confederate sympathizers or whatever in that historical battle, this is part of our history and our culture and ought to be honored. That doesn't even necessarily mean supporting, but it's part of our history. We must not erase it. Last Friday, the mayor of Baltimore announced that the city will follow in the footsteps of New Orleans and consider the removal of numerous Confederate monuments throughout the city. New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu said of the removal of the city's monuments, to literally put the Confederacy on a pedestal in our more prominent places in honor is an inaccurate recitation of our full past, is an affront to our present, and is a bad prescription for our future. No, and it's just complete moronic behavior of an ignoramus. These statues are part of New Orleans history. You can take them down, you can destroy them, but they are part of the history. That doesn't mean, of course, that other statues or other monuments cannot be erected, as they are from time to time. History evolves, times change, and all that. Yes, I would be the first to agree with that. And the article continues. It may perhaps be enough to denounce the bulldozing of statues as an absurd erasure of history, but this is not the primary problem with this drive to wipe out uncomfortable elements of our past from the public sphere. The more critical issue at stake is the loss of common purpose and the binding heritage that Americans of previous generations forged and shared. While many of the on the political right have been fine and in some cases glad that Confederate heroes are being wiped from public places, they are deeply mistaken if they think this crusade will stop with secessionists. No, absolutely. And there are many what we sometimes call cuck or scallywag or traitor so-called conservatives who are also all right with the attack on the Confederate past. Most recently, Antifa protesters in Texas has demanded the removal of a 100-year-old statue and any other landmark that bears the name of Sam Houston, according to the Conservative Review. I imagine because of other things, Mr. Houston was a slave owner. Houston, one of the founders of Texas, was a staunch Unionist and denounced the creation of the Confederacy. But Houston owned slaves.
So he's been added to the purge list, which now includes Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and even one of the fathers of progressivism, Woodrow Wilson, among many others. Woodrow Wilson was a segregationist. He resegregated the American Army, even though he was in some ways a one-worlder and a bit of a dreamer. And to erase these people's names and monuments is to erase part of our history. It doesn't mean that they are necessarily honored as paragons of virtue or models to be followed today, but in their time, they made a great contribution. And they are part of a history that cannot, short of Orwellian methods, be erased. They're there. The problem was made palpable when anger poured on this Heritage Foundation tweet about a simple and one would think a non-controversial statement about Jefferson's and Americans' creedal foundation. The Heritage Foundation wrote, "This nation was founded not on blood or ethnicity, but on an idea that of natural human equality. Those with even a cursory understanding of the Civil War should understand why Jefferson's concept of a nation founded not on blood or ethnicity," this is what he said, "but on an idea that of natural human equality is fundamentally at odds with the philosophical cornerstone of the Confederacy. But the savage attacks on Jefferson show how little distinction is made between various politically incorrect historical targets out of step with the milieu of the time." Well, I would amend that to say the milieu of some of the people of this time. "In this debate, nuances are irrelevant. America's sins must be purged. And to the left, which increasingly doesn't recognize American exceptionalism or the greatness of the American founding document, or all of American history, is in need of redemption. Gone are the days of Jefferson's inaugural address, in which he announced, 'We are all Republicans, we are all Federalists.' While the election that brought Jefferson to the presidency was one of the most acrimonious in American history, he went out of his way to say that the majority of his fellow Americans were still committed to the cause of the Republic, despite the way they voted. And anyone not so committed, he said, let them stand undisturbed as monuments of the safety with which error of opinion may be tolerated where reason is left to combat it." A very interesting statement. "Let them stand undisturbed as monuments of the safety with which error of opinion may be tolerated where reason is left free to combat it." That's right. As long as we have free speech, there can be a wide variety of opinions. It's once you lose that then you essentially say to people, well, if you know, what are the options? Surrender or violence? And that's not the way I would think we want to go. However, in this modern battle for the soul of America, there are increasingly two modes: resist or crush. The urge to crush is what many Americans heard when presidential candidate Hillary Clinton labeled opponents as a basket of deplorables. Many Americans simply heard, "I want you to disappear." This is ultimately the same impulse behind the widespread drive to tear down the statues. There are perhaps few satisfactory ways to sum up the impact of the Civil War, which defined or perhaps redefined the American people. Nevertheless, we were quite fortunate that during this time we had leaders like Abraham Lincoln, backed by the power of the Union Army, who smashed the Confederacy and eliminated the great evil of slavery forever. Now that's this writer's opinion, not mine. Slavery was on its way out anyway. And the war wasn't only about slavery, it was about power. And unfortunately, the more industrialized and more populous northern states were in the end able to impose their will upon others. And that was the reality. It was will imposed on other people, on the Confederacy. Yet numerous men and women on both sides laid the groundwork for reconciliation to reforge a united nation from the ashes of the fiery civil feud. In the years following the war, there were undoubtedly some Americans militantly committed to lost cause, stories about the Southern victimhood and Northern aggressors wanting to keep the South down. Yet many Americans, to whom we owe a debt of gratitude, conducted the difficult task of rebuilding the United States. And as put upon as the South was, in every war America ever fought after the Civil War, Southerners disproportionately volunteered for their country's armies. And in fact, Tennessee was called the Volunteer State. I've been there. I've been to the State Museum and seen the tremendous contribution and read the figures about the disproportionate number of Tennesseans who volunteered for the American Armed Forces. Lincoln, of course, famously referred to this in his second inaugural address, saying that in the wake of the war, Americans must embrace the concept of malice toward none and charity for all. He demonstrated this by having the Southern tune Dixie played when news of General Robert E. Lee's surrender to General Ulysses S. Grant was announced. And Lincoln wasn't alone. Lee, who led the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia despite his opposition to secession, also tried to patch up the wounds of a deeply divided nation. He once wrote to a Confederate veteran, "I believe it to be the duty of everyone to unite in the restoration of the country and the reestablishment of peace and harmony." The old Confederate general stuck to his words. He refused to gin up animosity toward Reconstruction and worked to restore harmony between Americans. Many in the North recognized Lee's contribution to reconciliation and went out of their way to make him a symbol of a nation on the mend. Charles Francis Adams, Jr., Massachusetts, great-grandson of founding father John Adams, even dedicated a speech advocating that a statue of Lee be built in Washington, D.C. So a Yankee, a Northern Yankee, grandson of John Adams, recommended that the Lee statue be built in D.C. While Adams, who had served in the Union Army, never conceded the justice of the cause of the free states, he noted how Lee demonstrated that good men could fight for bad causes. He said that men like Lee were still ultimately our countrymen. It's a discredit to modern Americans that we now are now undoing the almost miraculous process of restoration achieved by men who had far more reasons to hate. This country may indeed have been blessed by divine providence, but it was also molded by the dirty hands of man. Americans may not be a perfect people, but they represent a great cause, says this essay. This is what is lost in the blind efforts to remove statues and American history. In our iconoclastic efforts to erase the past, we rob ourselves of knowing the men who forged our national identity and the events that made us who we are today. This nation of almost incomprehensible wealth, power, and prosperity was created by the decisions of men like Lincoln and Lee, or General Lee, too. The zealous march to obliterate America's past, even parts we dislike, will leave us a diminished civilization. The divisions and differences among us will become sharpened and less tolerable, and the lessons learned from the bloodiest war in our history will have to be relearned by a people who have failed to even come to grips with the wisdom of those who have come before us. Severing our roots in this country's history, warts and all, will turn the United States into little more than a listless economic behemoth with no past and no future. And in my respectful submission, such a country will not long be able to endure. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com with lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada and the United States of America. I'm going to play a couple of tunes which celebrate the great efforts of our people, led by Ian Douglas Smith in 1965 to declare independence, unilateral independence in what's now Zimbabwe, but was then Rhodesia. They provided good, stable government that helped both whites and blacks, eventually overthrown by a double whammy, a Bush war funded by and armed by the communists and also by some white-hating Scandinavian countries, although the Bush war never defeated the Rhodesian forces, and ultimately the economic boycott and the threat to
prevent Rhodesia, which was landlocked and did not have oil. They were threatened by South Africa under pressure from Kissinger and the Americans to choke their economy by denying them oil. That ultimately brought them down, and power was turned over to the man who's been a virtual dictator, although there are sham elections ever since, Robert Mugabe. Well, from the great fight for Rhodesian independence, this is a song called The Last Name in Rhodesian. And that is I-A-N, and that's Ian Douglas Smith.
R is for the regiments who fight the winning fight. H is for the home fires that the folks are keeping bright. O is for the other ranks and officers as well. And D is for the diehards who will even fight in hell. E is for the enemy that just won't ever win. S is for the spirit of our men that won't grow dim. I is for the independence that we have to shed. And A is for the arms that we will always have to bear. And the first word in Rhodesian is Rhodes. That's a name that everybody knows. It may be as Rhodesian as the flag of white and green, but the last word in Rhodesian is in. R is for the regiments who fight the winning fight. H is for the home fires that the folks are keeping bright. O is for the other ranks and officers as well. And D is for the diehards who will even fight in hell. E is for the enemy that just won't ever win. S is for the spirit of our men that won't grow dim. I is for the independence that we have to share. And A is for the arms that we will always have to bear. And the first word in Rhodesian is Rhodes. That's a name that everybody knows. It may be as Rhodesian as the flag of white and green, but the last word in Rhodesian is here. And the first word in Rhodesian is Rhodes. That's a name that everybody knows. It may be as Rhodesian as the flag of white and green, but the last word in Rhodesian is here.
And from the Rhodesian War for Independence, the last word in Rhodesian is Ian. I'm going to play another song from that. This was Clem Follett, and this is Rhodesians Never Die. Real stirring song, independence song.
Here's the story of Rhodesia, a land both fair and great. On the 11th of November, an independent state. This was much against the wishes of certain governments, whose leaders tried to break us down and make us all repent. But we're all Rhodesians, and we'll fight through thick and thin. We'll keep our land a free land, stop the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi till that river's running dry. And this mighty land will prosper, for Rhodesians never die. They can send their men to murder and they can shout their words of hate, but the cost of keeping this land free can never be too great. For our men and boys are fighting for the things that they most care, and this land and among its people will never disappear. Because we're all Rhodesians, and we'll fight through thick and thin. We'll keep our land a free land, stop the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi till that river's running dry. is mighty land will prosper, for in England never dies. You deserve this little nation, for our children's children too. Once a railroad leader, no other land will do. We will stand tall in the sunshine, with the truth upon our side. And if we have to go alone,
Rhodesians Never Die by Clem Follett, and we're going to play one more from the Rhodesian Battle for Independence. This is called The Great White Tribe. Well, we will in 3 seconds.
Oh, the great white tribe were 300,000 strong, just a drop in the ocean of the world's mighty throng. And under the sun of an African land, barefoot as children they walked in the sand. But the dreams of a nation were split by the sword, and the world rose against them with sanctions and war. But they weathered the storm like twigs in the sea, and were beached on the shores of the lands that are free. Oh, the great white tribe is nothing strange, only scattered, never lost in the winds of change. Oh, the great white tribe is nothing strange, only scattered, never lost in the winds of change. Oh, the great white tribe are now all on the move, with nothing to lose and nothing to prove. They have friends in the south who were steadfast and true. Now they'll stand by those friends and they'll fight for them too. And the twigs will make roots, and the roots will be trees, and they'll bear forth the fruits, and we'll pray on our knees that the tribe will be spared and given the grace to give of themselves to the free human race. Oh, the great white tribe is nothing strange, only scattered, never lost in the winds of change. Oh, the great white tribe is nothing strange, only scattered, never lost in the winds of change.
That's the great white tribe. I conclude this show by playing a really gripping video, and this is from Patriot Media, and Charlottesville, The Truth, and these are accounts by people who are there. And
we'll give time for a crowd to gather in here. Y'all share this video everywhere, because we're going to tell you the truth about Charlottesville. Y'all, so y'all, like I said, y'all share this video everywhere. This video needs to go viral, folks. Back out of this video and share it to every damn patriot group you've got. because people need to hear the truth. They're basically demonizing the Patriot community. They're trying to throw us under the bus on this Charlottesville event. So Ace, lead it off, man.
Let me get you shared the on that page here. This is probably one of the biggest videos we've ever done, one of the most important videos for the Patriot movement as a community that we've ever done.
Yeah,
this probably, this topic that we're fixing to tell you right now is going to affect tomorrow, it's going to affect a week from now, it's going to affect the Patriot community a month from now. What happened today in Charlottesville needs to be heard. But what really happened in Charlottesville, not what Fox News is telling you, not what all of the other propaganda news mainstream machine is telling you. We're going to tell you what really happened in Charlottesville today. We're going to tell you why we were really here, what our mission was, why we came all of this way from all over the country to be a part of what happened today. We're going to tell you that. Just share it, get it out, let everyone know that this is the truth. Fox News, shame on you. CNN, shame on you.
Yeah.
Mayor of Charlottesville, Virginia, shame on you. Yeah. Police chief of Charlottesville, Virginia, I don't even know you. I care so little about you, I don't even know your name. But I promise you, on Monday, the world will know your name.
Right.
Mark my words, this is my first time to ever come to Charlottesville, but I can assure you of one thing, this will not be our last. This is, the people that we brought to Charlottesville this time is a fraction of what you will see in the future. We came to Charlottesville. The Patriot movement is built on the Constitution. It's built on the ability for you and I to disagree on a topic, but agree that you and I have the right to disagree. You understand? So there was an event today in Charlottesville, Virginia, called Unite the Right. I don't know of anybody in this room that was either for or against the event Unite the Right. It had no bearing on why we were here. Whether we agree with the topics of Unite the Right or the speakers or what they had to say, we agree with their right or their ability or their God-given right and constitutionally protected right to have that freedom of speech. You understand? So whether you're Black Lives Matter, I will tell you right now that there isn't a single topic that I agree with Black Lives Matter. What I do agree with is Black Lives Matter, God-given right and constitutionally protected ability to be able to believe that way. So the reason that we as a Patriot community came to Charlottesville today from all over the country, we didn't come here because we thought, let's go stay in a Motel 8 or whatever the fuck we're staying in, right? And let's get together and drink water and just come and party it up. We didn't spend our own personal money. We didn't spend our own time away from our families. This isn't a vacation for us.
No, it's not.
We came to Charlottesville, Virginia to tell both sides, the far right and the far left, listen, whether we agree with what you have to say or not, we agree with your right to say it, without being in fear of being assaulted by the other group. I will tell you right now, Michael Hill, I don't agree with the fucking thing that comes out of your mouth. But I agree with your right to say it, and I think you should be allowed to say it without physically being assaulted for saying it. Black Lives Matter, I don't agree with a fucking thing that comes out of your mouth. But I agree with your right to say it. And I would stand there and fucking defend you if you were being assaulted or in fear of being assaulted for those things that I don't agree with.
The damn cop sure didn't defend us, did they?
No, he didn't.
We're gonna talk plenty about the cops as this video continues. Continue to share this group, share this message, share this video, because what we're going to tell you is going to blow your freaking mind. Yeah, I can't even look. Fox News, you should be fucking ashamed of yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
CNN too.
CNN, MSNBC, local media, you should be, did you guys know that CNN now rates below Nick at Night? Dead serious, that's for real. I will tell you this, there's not a man or woman inside this room that is a racist.
No!
There's not a man or woman inside this room that is anything that we recall today. There isn't a man or woman inside this room that is here for any other reason than to defend both of the parties, both of the extreme sides of what happened today in Charlottesville.
That's right.
What happened when we came here? We were the ones that were assaulted. We're the ones that are on the fucking mainstream propaganda news machine, being called out by the mayor, by the chief of police, you fucking coward. We're the ones that are being assaulted for coming here to defend your constitutional rights, to say the bullshit that comes out of your fucking mouths.
Right?
That's
right.
That's right. The conservatives out there need to get behind us on this one. This is bullshit. Everything they're saying is bullshit. The cops caused this shit.
Yeah.
They did.
On TV, there's no color. It's all white. That's bullshit.
Bullshit. We have men that are with our organizations today that are black.
Yes.
That's right.
The color of your skin has no bearing if you believe in the Constitution. That's the only requirement to be a part of our groups.
We have gay lesbians.
That you believe in standing up and defending the United States Constitution. That's the only thing we care about. I will tell you this. Charlottesville, Virginia isn't the first city we've been to. You guys that have watched our videos, you know that we've been from sea to shining sea, and that will continue. The things that happen today, the things that are being said on the mainstream propaganda news machine, you fucking pieces of shit, the things that you are spewing out of your mouths for ratings are going to burn you down.
Yes.
It's not going to deter us. It's not going to keep us from going to other cities. It's not going to keep us from doing what we do. And it's damn sure not going to keep us from coming back to Charlottesville, Virginia again.
We'll come back and we'll come
back.
That's the funny thing about these leftist cities that we visit. We keep having to come back.
Yep.
What happened today in Charlottesville was worse than Portland a couple days ago, and let me tell you why. In Portland, there was one police officer that was present in the entire park.
Yes.
Mayhem ensued. People were assaulted with skateboards. People were beat up with sticks and rocks. Oh, look. Hey.
Turn around,
there's a black guy in here. Oh, my God. What happened in Charlottesville, Virginia is a lot different than what happened in Portland.
Because
the cops were present today.
They let the shit take place. We actually sat back and watched them let Black Lives Matter attack patriots. We got attacked.
They
set the shit up for it to take place.
Yeah.
I was talking to sticks with them standing right there, and they did nothing.
And what's the more proof? I'm over here blind from pepper spray, blind from maize. We're getting attacked by Antifa. I jump over to the police barricade. What did the police say? You need to get out of here before you get arrested. And did they help? I said, I can't see. I need to get this stuff out of my eyes so I can see.
Right.
I don't care. You're going to get arrested. They came in and the rest of my guys arrested me when I said, I need help. I reached out for them for help. Did they help? No, they did not help. They're not on our side for that.
The cops sat back, folks, and watched us get pummeled with rocks, with water mixed with some kind of acid. I mean, they were throwing everything at us. Some of my guys got sticks broke over their heads.
They funneled us into them.
They set a trap up. They let them attack us.
They were running off smoke bombs and tear gas.
Yeah.
I will tell you this: with what happened to us in our group, the cops were standing less than 30 feet from us when we were having bricks thrown at us. A man was hit in the head, and over his ear is 3 or 4, 5, 6 stitches. They stood there and watched it and allowed it to occur. When I asked the police officers for a medic, for an ambulance to respond and help that man, I was told that they couldn't help us.
Nope.
They weren't there to help us. There was nothing that we could do to carry on. When we asked for an escort, you're on your own. When we asked for, hey, can you get us to our vehicle so we can leave? You're on your own.
Yeah.
If you are a police officer in Charlottesville, Virginia, and you believe in the United States Constitution, I ask that you go Monday morning, turn your badge and your gun in.
Amen.
And you find a police department that's actually going to stand up and defend the United States Constitution. You took out an oath. You raised your right hand and you swore out an oath to protect and serve. And today you did the fucking opposite. Shame on you. Your kids should be fucking ashamed of you.
Yes.
That's true. I watched people coming through the streets. I mean, with blood all over them. I mean, bloody's a hog. Big old gashes in them. I mean, some of my guys got it rough. They got shit broke over their heads. They got thrown on the ground and stomped. And the cops did not shit. They stood back with their arms crossed like this right here behind the police barrier.
Yeah.
They did not do shit.
There are 2,000 people watching this live feed today. When the mayor and the chief of police of Charlottesville, Virginia had their press conference, Fox News had 1,300 people watching their live feed. We have a voice here.
Yes. We are
the fourth branch of government, the We the People branch, the one branch of government the government does not tell you about. You have the executive branch, you have the legislative branch, you have the judicial branch, and then you have us. We are here to hold you accountable. Chief of Police of Charlottesville, Virginia, we are here to hold you accountable. Mayor of Charlottesville, Virginia, these things that have happened over and over and over inside of your city, it is your fucking fault. You are responsible for not protecting the citizens of this community. Yeah. You should be held reliable. And you are a fucking piece of shit. That's Ace Baker telling you that.
Yes.
I said you're a piece of shit too.
You know what? You're a piece of shit too.
You know what? They took a flag from a girl that was holding a flag for me today. But you know what? They didn't keep it.
No.
We plowed into the crowd and played little bowling ball with them to get back there to get the flag. And we got the flag. Some people saw me get a little beat on national news.
Yep.
I'm just fine. I'm ready for the next one.
Freedom! Freedom!
Yes!
We come here for many reasons today. We got the First Tennessee Rifles. They come to stand up for basically Lee Monument. And the First Amendment. The Highwaymen, we come here for all the reasons. Stand up First Amendment. Come to support our Southern heritage. Folks, we didn't come to hate on anybody.
No.
No, we didn't.
We come here basically because it was the right thing to do.
We came here to respect law enforcement and the military.
Amen.
They fucked us.
Amen.
They respect the Constitution. The one group out of all of the other groups that was here in Charlottesville, Virginia today, the one group, the patriot community that stands up and defends constitutional law enforcement, you shit on us.
We always supported the blue, have we not?
We carry back the blue flags.
We always supported the blue.
The patriot community has the Hug a Cop Challenge. The patriot community is the one that shakes the police officer's hands and says, thank you, sir, for coming out and doing what you do.
Yeah.
Today, right. Charlottesville, Virginia Police Department, shame on you. You should fucking...
You should let us down.
Yeah. You need to let us down. If you're a decent cop, it's like A said, you work for Charlottesville PD, go turn your damn badge and go get you a job for some better people. Because there were shit bags up there. Okay, I'm just saying it is.
I'll be playing more of that on the next show. This is a very interesting video by people who were at the Charlottesville protest, and it's very, very clear the horrible policing. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on RightResistanceRadio.com. Back with the game tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. Show's repeated in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, all those three Eastern Standard Time. I sign off as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada.